We'll talk to you sooner than later right here on, you know, I like the way you say James. Wait, that doesn't make sense.
Mm. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There were mostly peaceful protests across the country over the weekend after the Memphis Police Department released body cam video of Tyre Nichols beating at the hands of five officers during a traffic stop. He died 3 days later. Memphis Church Pastor Gilbert Washington.
We're praying for that young man's family, for his loved ones, for his friends. They're hurting. And we're hurting as well.
CBS's Jared Hill.
A February 17th bond arraignment hearing has been scheduled for the five ex-officers involved, according to Shelby County online court records. Each faces multiple charges, including second-degree murder.
Officials in northwestern Pakistan believe a suicide bomber targeted a mosque in Peshawar today, killing at least 27 worshippers and wounding as many as 147 others. The BBC's Caroline Davies.
A police official told the BBC that part of the mosque's wall collapsed with the force of the blast. Lady Reading Hospital in Peshawar has declared an emergency. They told the BBC that they were still receiving those injured in the explosion. Unverified images on local media show half a wall caved in. The mosque covered in bricks and debris as people clamber over the rubble to escape.
In Cairo today, camera snapping away as Secretary of State Blinken met with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Blinken says he raised concerns about human rights issues ahead of a meeting in Jerusalem with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to discuss a new surge of Israeli-Palestinian violence. The Chiefs and the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl.
Racing around the edge, Scott is in! Touchdown, Philadelphia!
Philly crushed the 49ers 31-7 to win the NFC Championship on Fox. Eagles coach Nick Sirianni.
This is something we all dream about, and we get to do it because, you know, we did it better than anybody else in the NFC this year.
The Chiefs beat the Bengals 23-20 to take the AFC Championship. Super Bowl 57, a week from Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden will go head-to-head over the nation's debt ceiling when they meet Wednesday. Republicans insist on budget cuts before they raise the borrowing limit. Speaker McCarthy telling CBS's Face the Nation.
I want to make sure we're protected in our defense spending, but I want to make sure it's effective and efficient. I want to look at every single dollar we're spending, no matter where it's being spent. I want to eliminate waste wherever it is.
The president insists negotiating over raising the debt ceiling could trigger a recession. No school today in Woburn, Massachusetts. Teachers like Eric Scarborough are on strike.
It's unfortunate that we have to do this, but you get to a point where you've been pushed too far.
S&P futures down 35. Dow futures off 205. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A wind chill advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until noon tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 17. Northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 13 below. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, highs around 6 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 15.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this February 2nd, 2023. Happy Groundhog Day, everyone. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two at 10:30, we're going to talk with Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW Extension. Right now, in studio, we have some of our friends from Mid-State Technical College. We have Leah Eckstein in with us. She is a nursing instructor with Mid-State. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning.
Did I say it right? Did Eckstein?
It's Eckstein.
Eckstein. Yes. I'm a Jew. I should get that right. I mean, that's very on my wheelhouse. I'm joking. No, that's great. That Eckstein. Now, that's a little bit easier. Actually, easier to say. Mm-hmm. Leah, thank you so much for putting up with me already and for joining us today. Especially, not only do we love catching up with our friends from Mid-State, but to be able to focus and talk about nursing is one of those things I feel like we could spend the next hour hanging out and still not cover everything.
We definitely could.
We'll put our focus certainly on Mid-State and some of the things that are going on, like the nursing shortage and opportunities for nursing. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Let's go ahead and start with, why is the nation and the state facing a nursing shortage?
Sure. So I'm sure most people have heard that there's a significant amount of retirees coming out of the nursing profession. So we have seen a higher rate of retirements. Of course, we had been anticipating that, expecting that for many years as we watch the different trends and ages of our nurses. But then with the COVID-19 pandemic, we saw an increase of retirements. People who were kind of on the bubble chose to make that their time to retire, understandably. But we've also seen a number of individuals choose not to go into the nursing profession who may have historically. So you hear in the media, you hear from friends, family, peers about the challenges of the healthcare system at this point. So sometimes we hear a lot from the negative perspective inside of the culture within our healthcare systems and how nurses are being treated not as fairly or as well as they had been historically. So it's a challenge for individuals to select that as their profession.
So with all that being said, what should people know about the profession of nursing and kind of maybe countering some of that that kind of talk?
Yes. So of course the profession of nursing has been upheld as one of the most trusted, respected positions that you can have within the healthcare organizations. I think that the biggest thing to keep in mind is what you see on television and the media doesn't necessarily portray the true profession of nursing.
Wait a minute, ER lied to me?
I know. Challenging.
It really is.
Yes.
My Nana was a nurse, my grandmother.
Okay.
And I can remember like sitting back and she loved soap operas and she'd be watching General Hospital, her favorite one. And I seriously wonder if part of the reason she watched it was just to take shots at that show.
Oh, yes.
Like, under her breath, that's not how it works. That's not, you know, that kind of thing. Like nurses understand this. People in the medical field understand this. But it's so nice to be able to touch on too, because you know, as shows have gotten more and more realistic and more detailed, and even still, it's not even close to what it is actually like in the nursing profession.
Right. We even talk with our students about this in class. Like, it's not, that's not how we saw it on whatever.
Yeah.
It is correct. That's not true. So
registered nurses have ranked highly, too.
Yes.
This is something that's noteworthy.
Yes. So in the Gallup surveys where they survey a great deal of individuals as to what the highest respected and trusted profession is, nurses always rank high on that, even higher than doctors and dentists and whoever else in the healthcare profession, because of that one-to-one rapport that nurses get to build with their patients and family members of their patients.
It's a bond that there's not many things in life and society that creates stuff like that.
Correct.
And it's part of why you don't hear a lot of people, you know what, I want to make $1 million. I want to be a millionaire. I'm going to go into nursing.
Right.
Like, you go into nursing mostly because of heart, because of a passion. It's one of the earliest things I learned. I'm a SAG member. I'm an actor. I work, obviously, in radio. I've been doing this for 20-some years. But I'm in these industries mainly because of my Nana. Because my Nana, from a young age, when she would talk about nursing, it was all passion. I don't know how much money she made. I don't know if she retired as a nurse and some of these details here. I know so much about her work, though, and what it was like for her to be a nurse because of how passionate and cared. She didn't just sit down and tell me, Jimmy, I'm passionate about this. You could see it. Nobody that knew my Nana couldn't be around her for 5-10 minutes, and if nursing came up, oh, okay, Anne loves this. This is her thing. This is the way I am about acting. And it all stems from her in many ways, and that passion and understanding from a young age. Do I want to make money and all that, or do I want to do something I love to do? And I want to make sure that people understand you could do both. You nursing can be a profession that you can make a good living at and everything. I don't want to make it sound like you guys make nothing. But it is certainly something, too, where certainly there are people out there that is more of their care. I want to have a big house and all these things and stuff. And if that's the case, maybe this isn't the profession for you, because you never met a nurse that was in this for the money. This is a heart job.
Right. And I think that's a good segue. We as nurses, of course, we make a like you said, we
a good
make
living.
A good living, sure. But it's not necessarily the most lucrative, and it's not easy work. So yeah. That's something that we talk about. You have to have that passion. You have to have that heart. You have to be willing to put yourself aside and care for the people that you are caring for. And it's not for everyone. Sometimes we'll see students make that choice early on in their student career, and that's okay. But if you don't have that passion and drive, you're not going to enjoy going to work every day. And are you in it for the money and just the money? That's probably not the best fit for you, because you really need to have that passion, that drive, that willingness to be with people at their absolute worst and work through that with them.
We've all heard growing up, the best things in life are free. And that's true for the most rewarding things oftentimes too.
Yes.
So while nursing may not be in the upper echelon of making you a millionaire or anything, the rewardingness of the job, the reason why, well, if they're just listening to bits and pieces of some of this conversation, why would somebody go into this? Let me tell you, everything I just said about my Nana, and when I'm talking about those stories and stuff, that's 30 some years after she retired.
Yes.
And she's still remembering people. She's still talking about this moment or that moment, or when she saw Ernie Banks and these kind of things. Like it was a lifelong passion for her, so much so that I remember once when I had heat stroke and I didn't know what it was, and my Nana saved me, like, you know, things like
sure.
that. And she
yep.
did it like 65 or something like that. She was
so
maybe the bank account isn't what it could be in some professions, but those other professions don't give the rewardingness, that lifetime rewarding feeling that nursing can bring.
Yes, and just the sheer space of nursing. So every day is different. It's not something that it's monotonous. You know, you may have the same, you may be in the same department or on the same floor, but it's different. Everyone's different. You can have one patient with congestive heart failure, but they're not the same as the next. So the variety of your day is always changing. It makes it exciting. It makes it interesting. It helps us continue to be lifelong learners. Mm. So we're not just stuck in the mundane and the boringness of our life. So it's something that you can continue to grow with.
It was another thing that was a big influence on me, because I realized right away at a young age, that's something. I was 7 and wanted to be an actor. But
sure.
Part of the reason I think that was chosen and I chose that and all that is because it's a profession I can always work at. I want to be the greatest actor of all time. I could do that my whole life. I can work towards that. And I can constantly get better and better and better. A lot of people look for positions like that, especially a lot of the young people. The students that I talk to at Second City when I'm teaching acting or anything, one of the first things out of them is that, is the idea that, oh, it's not just that I don't have to necessarily retire from this. I can always learn and get better.
Yes.
People like things like that. They're being pulled to those as careers more than anything. That's noteworthy. Another great part of this too is the different like exercises opportunities you get to flex certain skills.
Yes. So it's not just your caring, but it's your critical thinking. So of course nurses have to be thinking always. They have many things going on, so building that robust ability to have good critical thinking skills. You're practicing under your own license. It's very autonomous, and you are responsible for that license, and you're responsible for the care that you're providing. Every day, like I said, is different. You are working as a team. You are working with your communication skills, your ability to help individuals understand what you're saying. So sometimes our students will, you know, say all the medical jargon, yes, but what does that mean to your client? What does that mean to your patient? So let's make sure people are understanding. So it's not just the simple caring aspect or the skills. You're not just starting an IV. You're thinking, you're adapting, you're working as a team, communicating, educating. So very multifaceted.
We have listeners and we have different people that we talk to almost every day on a consistent basis, on a monthly basis. And one of the more consistent things I hear is I'm doing something, but I know I could do more, or I want to make an impact on my community, or I want to make an impact on society. Mm-hmm. Very few people get to cure polio. Right. And affect the whole world. The majority of us, we're looking to make something in our own zip code. We're looking to make an impact there. And this is where, especially to those who are still looking for a career, this is where nursing is waiting right for you.
Yes.
It makes an immediate impact on your community and your society, a consistent one. And as you mentioned, you know, the ever-changingness of it and so many of those parts of it too. And that was before the pandemic.
Right.
Like now, especially. We did a pretty good job during that time, I think, of appreciating a lot of, first responders and ER nurses and everything. We can't let go off of that. We can't take our foot off the gas when it comes to that. We need to continue that on.
Right.
And the fact that we have that, and I think we had a lot of people, young people, seeing that. Hopefully we pulled some more people into the industry, but we gotta keep that going. We gotta keep that fire burning when it comes to this, and reminding people, you wanna make an impact on the world. One of the greatest ways you can do that is being a nurse, is being in this field.
Yes, nurses have that opportunity to affect an individual, affect a family unit, and then as you look more broadly and globally, so my career I spent as a public health nurse prior to becoming an educator, so obviously working with impacting our communities, the state, the whole local level, making those big system-wide changes to affect really the health of a community, so you can see those changes and feel good about what you've done to impact.
And speaking of this and the last couple of years and everything, the education factor can't be lost on this either. The
right.
The ability to educate your community, your friends, your family, those kind of things.
Correct. Yes. Always educating so everyone in the community can understand what health is to begin with, and then also how to make changes to their own bodies, their own practices to increase their ability to be a more healthy individual.
There's a lot of flexibility in this career too, the path, I should say.
Yes.
There is. What are some of the opportunities nurses have for career choices?
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the best thing I think about the nursing profession.
Yeah.
So yes, you're a nurse, but that doesn't mean you're pigeonholed into one practice or career. So you can go into, of course, bedside nursing, absolutely fruitful and a good career to have, but if bedside nursing isn't something that you are interested in, there's a smattering of opportunities. So a home health nurse, so providing care to people within their own homes and their environments there, occupational health, you'll see a different, some of our larger industries, the paper mills, for instance, have their own nurse on staff. Just anything you can get into. Public health nursing, of course, surgical nurses,
dialysis
nursing, diabetic educators, so on and on and on for your opportunities with nursing.
And one of the bigger headlines nowadays is mental health, and that's
yes.
another angle on this too.
Absolutely. So as mental health services expand and grow, that's a great opportunity for nurses to be able to make an impact on individuals who are having mental health challenges, or really anyone, because we know mental health affects all of us.
Side question here, and not certainly to have you put you on the spot or for to have you speak for an entire industry or anything like that, but I know that we were talking earlier about some of the kind of stereotypes that we have or preconceived notions we have of this industry, and you and I both touched on how the society kind of looks at nursing, and I think there's a very healthy, strong respect for it, especially especially as we mentioned the last couple of years. How about inside the industry? Do other nurses have a respect for each other in other positions? Do doctors respect nurses? And again, it's a case-by-case thing. Not asking you to speak for everything, but just in your experiences.
Yes. You're exactly right. It is case by case, but overall, in general, nurses are looking out for other nurses. Nurses are looking out for the rest of their team, whether it's respiratory therapists or CNAs and other healthcare providers that they're working with. It really is a team environment, and nurses are respectful of not only the people that they're caring for, but also the people that are on their teams, because nurses cannot do it alone. So we need other people on our team to provide the best care possible.
And there are opportunities for a variety of certifications as well.
Yes, so advanced practice is something that you certainly can obtain and aspire to as a nurse. So we have different levels of nursing education. Of course, your associate degree in nursing that Mid-State Technical College offers. We also have partnerships with UWSP to obtain your BSN, so your Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, and then of course our Master's degrees and advanced practice. But amongst all of your different educational levels, you also have the opportunity for different certifications. So if it's a critical care residency program, or a specialized certification in mental health services, for instance, like you were saying, there's opportunities to continue to advance your education so you are more specialized in what you want to be providing for your patients.
We're speaking with Leah Eckstein, a nursing instructor with Mid-State Technical College. And Leah, how does the nursing shortage impact healthcare services?
Yes. So as we see that nursing shortage, I'm sure some of you have already experienced some of the challenges. Mm-hmm. Appointments, procedures, those types of things can be put on a delayed process or progress because of staffing issues. So if we don't have the staff to be able to provide care, provide services, we can't do that. So a nursing shortage directly impacts that. So we cannot provide care if there's no one to provide care. So of course that impacts it. You also see agencies that are short-staffed, and maybe they aren't providing the highest level of care that they would like to be providing. Mm-hmm. So the care that you're receiving may suffer. You may not be able to receive all the information that we were once able to provide because we have too much on our plates as far as the amount of people, so being spread a little too thin. So that is one of the main reasons we need to have more nurses come into the profession. So we are able to provide that highest level of care that we know we can offer.
I think a lot of people during the last couple of years, especially during the heart of things and the pandemic and all that, there was a you feel frustrated. You can't. What can I do? I'm not a nurse. I'm not a doctor, so I can't go there and help people with their health or these kind of things. What can I do? And we're in a job like this. Well, I can share information.
Yes.
I can make sure that I'm sharing correct factual information. I can do that. That's one little thing I can do, and it's a small piece, but it gets you through and it helps you a little bit. I literally cannot even begin to imagine what it's like to be in the field and the frustration it must be to dealing with that, the times we've dealt with in the last couple of years and everything. The fact that we still have people in the industry, great people like yourself that are caring and doing this, we ought to be every day being thankful for this stuff.
Yes.
For one, it kind of important, you know, human health, a little important. Seems like it's important to
like
the human species kind of going around and everything like that. But also out of a certain kind of grace that we give each other, that we talk about, a thankfulness, like, hey, thank you for doing this. We appreciate this part of our society. And part of showing thanks is showing, not just support with your words, but with your actions.
Yes.
I think another great thing that you can do when it comes to this, what we're talking about here, is spreading the word about this, the facts, the things that we're talking about. You just never know who's listening, and especially to, you know, young people. I know that this is something I do from time to time with my students at Second City. For every student we have that wants to be the next Conan O'Brien or something like that, you got students who are doing this for fun, or people who are doing it because they're just not sure what direction they want to go with their lives. And I actually think a lot of our students would be great nurses, would be really good in this industry. They're great with people. They have a great bedside manner. Most of them aren't afraid of blood because they're stand-up comedians and they're, I know that at least one of my students has gone on to do this. And I wish her well. She's just started her career in nursing, yes, and stuff, but she's enjoyed it. She's enjoying the process so far and has found a rewardingness that comedy didn't give her.
Sure.
Which is saying something, I think, because making people laugh has an immediate, mm-hmm, if you're good at it, if you make people laugh,
right?
you have immediate response with this, and that's where a lot of people like tend to go nowadays. Where I want an immediate pullback on my investment of my career or my time.
Right.
You do get that in nursing. Mm-hmm. You get it all. That it may not be as obvious to some as others, but I imagine it when you're in the industry. There's so many things that happen organically that you may not necessarily be able to reference.
Right. And even if it's the little things, you know, that we find joy and passion in, that others may not. It's not just all, the glory. It's helping someone feel better, being there to hold someone's hand, making them laugh. Those things we know are important to people, as important as food, water. We need to have that connection with individuals. So as nurses, we very much understand that and continue to put that into our profession and make sure that we're still caring for whole individual.
Yes, well said. One of my Nana's favorite stories was telling me about helping a gentleman from the second floor get down to the first floor in a wheelchair and the walk down there with him, and some of the jokes she told him, or he told her, and how she was telling me those jokes and my cousins and everything later on in life. And it was just as simple. She wasn't doing anything that great. She's just taking him down to the first floor, but it was a memorable moment for her. Like, mm-hmm, it is an example of the everyday kind of things that can happen, and you just never know where some of this stuff is going to pull from you.
Right.
What is important to know about Mid-State's nursing program, or how Mid-State is working to alleviate the nursing shortage?
Yeah, so we've made a number of changes at Mid-State in order to increase our capacity for nursing students. We have, of course, the simulation center at Aspirus here in Wisconsin Rapids that allows us to provide additional clinical experiences for students. We are fortunate to have really great partners as far as our clinical agencies, so we are allowed to utilize a variety of different agencies in our area to provide a good, robust clinical experience so students can really get an idea as to where they want to go with their profession. We also offer online and telepresence courses. So telepresence is I, as an instructor, am on one campus, and then you have the ability to access the same class at all of our campuses. So we have campus in Marshfield, Stevens Point, of course, Wisconsin Rapids, and then Adams as well. So it really offers that accessibility option for our students to be able to not have to commute so far and reach that broader group of individuals who might be interested in the nursing profession.
I'm telling you, nobody is doing the things in the education field like Mid-State is.
Yes.
You guys are so dang good at this, so working with people. You literally have no excuse not to continue your education if
right.
you want to. Like,
yes.
Literally, there's no, like, if you say, well, I can work my way around this, I'll just come up with a good excuse. No, you won't, because they'll counter you.
Yes. Yep.
Is there, so we've told people about all this. How can people explore the program, decide whether a career in nursing is right for them? Kind of what's the next steps?
Yes. So one of the things that you can do is call Student Services, 888-575-6782. Our academic advisors are there to help you navigate through all of the ins and outs of programming and what you need for courses and all of those different components to get you started and on your way. Our advisors are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Get you on campus, get a tour, see if it's a good place for you to start.
There's a lot of hands-on programs you guys offer, too.
Yes.
I see 85 hands-on, mm-hmm, programs. That's crazy. That's amazing. It's wonderful.
Yes.
It's again why what I think Mid-State does above and beyond so many others do. If I'm the type of person that learns better this way, they'll work with that. If I'm the type of person that learns this way, the instructors work with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, so versatile and really make it incredibly hard for you not to want to continue your education or jump into a field. I get talking to some of you guys, and it's kind of like, maybe this is my last day in radio. Maybe I'm going to jump into nursing.
Come on over.
You know, it's just really hard not to. It's great. Lee, you did too good of a job. You're going to have to come back sometime.
Okay.
I apologize, but you did too good. It's kind of your own fault. Thank you for the time, though.
Thanks
really
for having
do
us.
Appreciate the conversation. Say hi to all of our friends over there in the campus. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a reminder, Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a reminder, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A wind chill advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until noon tomorrow. Partly cloudy skies this afternoon with highs around 17. Northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 13 below. Lots of sunshine tomorrow, highs around 6 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 15.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to part two of Morning Magazine for this February 2nd, 2023. Happy Groundhog Day, everyone. Got your host, James J. here, and I am joined right now on the phone by our good friend, Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's not warm today, but and I went further north, so I'm up in northern Clark County at a meeting with a co-op up here that's talking all things dairy, so of course I wanted to be there.
Yeah, and we appreciate that you do those things, Matt. Let's go ahead and start right there, if you don't mind. What is going on over there and why you're there?
Well, so it's River Country Co-op is a co-op that works in this northern Clark County, northern Marathon area a lot. And they're having kind of winter meeting for their producers and their growers. Actually, I'd say producers today because all the topics are dairy related. They're breaking out in three rooms. They're doing one for different speakers, care of young dairy animals, care and feeding of milking age animals, and then there's a room producing forages for the dairy herd. And actually myself, and then we have a specialist from UW-Madison who's our main statewide dairy nutritionist speaking here, and so I'm here in support with him. And we have a nice group of dairy producers up here today that attending. So,
is this one of those opportunities? Is this one of those opportunities, Matt, where a lot of people are able to share information, you know, across the state here?
Well, for sure. I'd say they have speakers from across the state, but I'd say most of the attendees beyond the speakers are dairy producers in north central Wisconsin.
Are there, I mean, it seems like, you know, anything being discussed would be important there, but are there some highlights? Are there some, you know, more important things than others being discussed or being talked about there?
Well, you know, I put together a fact sheet about a year ago, just compiling statistics about how many acres in our state are grown for corn silage. Wisconsin is the largest corn silage producer in the nation. And wherever there's a lot of dairy cattle, you're going to have a state that has a fair amount of corn silage. But no, California has more dairy cattle than we do, but we produce more corn silage than they do. And I was looking at the numbers, and it came to me that it's within just a couple square miles that, what do you know what the largest county in the state of Wisconsin is?
Oh, geez, I've heard this. No, I'm not sure.
Okay, Marathon County. So Wausau, the county just to north of us, is the largest county in the state. And each year, farmers in the state of Wisconsin go out of the fields and plant corn. Now, at harvest time, they can switch what they want. But so let's not say plant, harvest. We harvest about the equal of the entire county of our largest county, Marathon County, as corn silage in our state. You think of all the acres and cities and forest and freeway and other crops, and other corn, you know, corn for grain. We harvest the equivalent of our largest county in corn silage every year. So to me, that's a pretty cool Well, I'm the one that put two numbers together that they were about the same. But we're talking about we've come a long way with that crop as far as making it healthy and get a lot of milk out of that. So to me, that's going to be the highlight of the day, is talking about corn silage.
And that is those are some really cool stats you just gave us there. That is really interesting, Matt. I'm not sure I did know that about Marathon being not only the biggest, but some of the other things you mentioned there. That's really interesting. Is there other angles or other things you wanted to talk about today, Matt? I've got a couple of things that we can get to, but I certainly wanted to give you the floor if there was anything you wanted to touch on.
Yeah, so I do have a deadline coming up soon on, we got lots of seats open yet, but we have a program, we used to have a program called Heart of the Farm, and it's been going, different versions of this have been going on many, many years, and the implication is that a lot of our programming was aimed at, well, today at this meeting, it's probably 80% of the audience is men. But we know there's equally as many women involved in farming as men, and a lot of farm businesses are run by farm couples, and often the woman, there are stereotypes, which, you know, there's always exceptions to stereotypes, but women do the books and the finances are, you know, that's like the real wizard behind the operation is who can make the thing work. So we came up with this name, Heart of the Farm. Well, now we've changed it. It's a VITAL. And that acronym stands for Valuably Informed Agriculture Leader. And I wasn't on the committee. I thought Heart of the Farm was a great name. And we're going with the hearts because we're having our meeting on Valentine's Day at the Mead Wildlife Visitor Center. So that's just straight north of Millidore, Wisconsin, just in the Marathon County, a wonderful conference center site. If you're not coming to our VITAL conference, it's a great visitor center to visit that large wildlife area. But on February 14th, we're having a program there, and you can register. I'll give you that number later. I got to look it up to make sure I give you the right number. But We're having a conference there, and we're having a couple of different women who are dairy farmers who have diversified. One's a large dairy farmer, one a smaller one, but one is making a lotion that she's taking to shows around made from the milk from her Jersey cows. So she's diversified her business that way. And then another one has greenhouses, high tunnels, and open gardens, and is marketing flowers and cuttings and plants. And so we're going to have them on a panel talk about how they've diversified their business. We're having a fellow come in and talk about the milk that farmers ship has drastically changed in components. It's become higher in fat, which is what butter and cheese is made out of. I think we all know that whole milk and skim milk is standardized for fat, but there's a lot of value in that fat, and that fat has become it's regarded as healthier than it once was. It once was regarded as unhealthy. And farmers have responded that we're making higher fat and higher protein milk, and so he's going to talk about how that came to be. We're going to have some farm management topics. We're going to have great food, so that's the thing I want to make sure people know about is that they should, it's $25 to come with us on Valentine's Day and give yourself a treat as a target audience is women in agriculture.
That's a great topic, Matt. A bunch of great things you mentioned there, but the headline of the event, the conference, it really is a great one to dive into and get talking about. I got to imagine, as you mentioned, there are and always have been many women in farming, but as we look to get more farmers or, you know, get new blood into the industry or any of these things, well, we're talking about the other half of the population here. It seems like a great, you know, source to go to for that. And who knows, you know, who you might, you know, get start a fire under or get somebody to want to get into or just to show some support to other women in the industry.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you're fully behind what our goal is there. We've had some really, really good speakers of these programs over the years, so I'm hoping we get some good attendance because it's really nice quality program.
The next time we get together, I'm looking forward to hearing how the conference went, because I really believe that that's going to be successful. We'll certainly mention it after the show here. We'll tell people how to register and those things as we go along in our other shows leading up to the event.
Very good. So what were your questions for the day?
I want to take some time with them. So let's get our commercial break out of the way. We'll come back and we'll dive right into those, okay?
Okay.
Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW Extension, joining us right here on the Morning Magazine at WFHR.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A wind chill advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until noon tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 17. Northwesterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Lows around 13 below. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Lots of sunshine. Tomorrow, highs level off around 6 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 17.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine. For this February 2nd, 2023, we are speaking with Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. And again, thanks for being here, Matt.
I'm here.
I want to dive into healthcare and how healthcare works for farmers. When it comes to topics that you and I have covered over the last couple of years, we've touched on so many, and you along, not only the audience, but myself, has been educated on a lot of these things that I don't think we know or they are common knowledge. And it's one of those things I feel very foolish for not really thinking of earlier on, but when it comes to this industry, when it comes to being a farmer, I imagine that there's not necessarily a go-to, I'm asking, is there a go-to health industry? Is there a way or how that works for farmers? I pulled up Brownfield News and I see right away one of the first things on there, an open enrollment for farmers. And I do a little digging on this and it seems to be a bit of, I don't want to say an issue, but for lack of a better term, what can you tell us about how healthcare works and how healthcare insurance works for farmers?
Yeah, you know, I think we've talked on this a little bit before, but certainly we can refresh on this. So, in general, we still think of farming as the farmer, and so they're self-employed. Now, some of these larger operations have employees, but there's still even some of our, what we call really large farm on a scale of, businesses, smaller businesses. So we know that the self-employed are typically underinsured. I don't know that agriculture and farmers are any different than people that have are hauling lumber or a small retail business or whatever you have. But a lot of those people find it difficult to justify insuring themselves. So a lot of small businesses are underinsured. And then if you are an employee of a small business, a lot of times that's the last benefit that gets, you know, there's to be competitive and to get people, you know, you have to have a good pay, maybe have to have vacation. Sometimes people provide housing. But one of the last things that farm businesses provide is insurance. And then they do get an insurance plan. It probably doesn't always compete like if you're an employee of a large concern that maybe is unionized or state employee program or something like that. So pretty much in general, I'd say that there's issues with insuring in agriculture. One that happens a lot is many, many farms, we're just going through the census of agriculture right now. So once every 5 years, the USDA tries to reach every farmer in the country, and it's really an extensive survey, you know, and they ask their age, what they grow, how many acres, what they rent, what practices they use on that land. And I believe there's some questions on there about insurance as well, but many farmers have a spouse that works off the farm. And one of the real, when you ask them, well, why doesn't this person, male or female, why aren't they at home? Well, we find that it's valuable for them to provide the insurance that, you know, they got a job that has good insurance. So yes, you've hit on an issue that's really relevant for agriculture is that,
Matt? Oh, we lost Matt. Oh, he was getting good, too. Oh, dang it. Hopefully, Matt will be able to join us again because, yeah, this is certainly one of those things that, as Matt touched on there, we have touched on a little bit in previous conversations, but not, I think, to this depth. And I'm looking forward to hearing what else Matt has to say on this as I try to stretch. And there he is. Okay, there we go. Good morning, Matt. You're with us again?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Not sure.
I heard a beep. I think I got my last comment in, I think.
Yes, yeah, I think so.
You weren't there.
Just in case you didn't, though, how were you wrapping up there?
I was just acknowledging that you picked a relevant topic. That a lot of people actually reach outside of agriculture and seek employment elsewhere to take care of their families for insurance.
You've been in this industry a long time, Matt. Do you think that that's something that's getting better for farmers as far as finding good insurance?
I don't know if it's better, but maybe. I mean, certainly farms are getting larger. So as they get larger, you would hope that maybe they're in some ways becoming more sustainable. And one way would be that maybe they are generating a little more margin that they can justify good insurance just on the scale of their business. Or if they have employees that large farms pretty much need to provide insurance for employees. Now, you know, I'm involved with some farms like that pretty closely that not all the employees elect to take insurance. You know, even if the cost is minimal, they still are, you know, it's not like the old days that the large unionized situations where when you had health insurance, it was all covered by the employer. That's pretty rare nowadays. And so we still see employees that even if the employer is going to pay half of a pretty modest program, that they elect not to. You know, they'd rather take that little bit more money and have it for spending right now today. So
is there a good resource that you would recommend to people to look into this, or just kind of, if you're in the industry, you probably already are aware of the information?
Yeah, I don't have a great one just off the top of my head. You know, there may be something in UW that I should be talking to folks about. I do know maybe where you're getting at is sometimes different counties or maybe regional governmental entities that are like North Central Wisconsin, so groups of counties, social services or whatever, you know, they'll seek out grants to try to get a little subsidy in an area to provide health insurance for people. The nature of those is not very consistent. You know, it's the grant is done and then the money's not there anymore. So, I mean, that would be a place to check would be county health departments and see what they have as far as resources, as far as other alternatives to getting some level of insurance.
I got a fun one for us to wrap up on, Matt. Before we get to that, I did want to touch on some of the optimism that is surrounding the second half of 2023 when it comes to our ag industry. We're seeing from some experts, including a grain analyst, is expecting 23 to be a launching pad for marketing opportunities, that there are going to be some bumps and bruises along the way, but 2023 could be the fulcrum year as a kind of moving forward. This coming from Todd Gohl with the Chicago-based Merrick, telling Brownfield News. Are you optimistic? Are you seeing some of those things too? Are you aware of anything I'm talking about?
Well, here it is the 2nd of February, so I think crystal ball for what the outlook for 2023 is still very valid, right? That's always a topic at the beginning of the year. I'm going to focus on dairy. So we had an exceptional year in 2022 as far as within just a few pennies of the highest average price per hundredweight of milk received by farmers across the country compared to 2014. And both years had relatively high input costs, so it wasn't just entirely just screaming, you know, we can't take the money to bank fast enough. There was also the margin wasn't as great as the pay price, but both years were pretty sound years for dairy farmers. And we've already seen in dairy those prices kind of collapse to a pretty tight year looking for 2023, and we can look for some very sound reasons different than the outlook you're saying. So China, you know, largest population country in the world, buys dairy from the U.S., and sometimes it's not even feeding the population. Sometimes they're buying whey to feed baby pigs. That is, pork is their largest meat of consumption in China. And we produce way more dried milk powders, milk, dried milk powder, or whey products that we can sell to China. Well, China is having a tough year. If you've heard, you know, they're just now having their full brunt of the pandemic we went through, and so the economic outlook in China is not huge. So it would be the very end of the year, and maybe that's what they were talking about, that we're hoping that China is going to be back in business. But you know, we just had a really good year, so it's going to be hard to beat that in 2023.
Yeah, and why does it feel, you know, I almost feel like that isn't being talked about enough, that we just came out of this last year and having a solid year. And I think that's noteworthy.
I think people are less often bragging about how great a time they did financially than when times were really tough.
Mm. Good point. So, true. Very true.
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, 2022 wasn't all gravy. I mean, we had higher expenses as well. Mm-hmm. So.
Before we wrap up, I do want to tell people how they can register for the conference map. But before we do, you and I don't get a chance to do this very often. And we certainly, I love your laugh, Matt. I like making you smile. So I wanted to wrap things up on kind of a fun note here. And I've got this stems back to National Farmers Day back in October. That's how long I've been waiting to do this one with you. I have, in recognition of the farmers who feed us year round, I got a list of the 10 best country songs about farming.
Okay, let's have it.
I want to get your feel on this one. And these are in no particular order or anything like that. So, She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy from Kenny Chesney. That's got to be on the list, right? It's got to be on there.
Well, I have a story about that. So Ooh. I have a son that can almost carry a tune. He's actually got a pretty good voice. And we were at a youth ag convention, and the entertainment in the evening was a hypnotist, and they hypnotized him, and they had him sing that song. he did a pretty good job of it. Yeah, that's a classic ag song for sure.
It's a good one.
So, very good.
That's a great story, Matt. Thank you for sharing that. That's a great story. Amarillo Sky from Jason Aldean.
Okay. I'm noticing a theme. They tend to be country songs. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the list here, and I would say pretty much all of them are. Maybe one sort of exception, but probably not. Craig Morgan, International Harvester. It's another one.
Yeah.
Rain Is a Good Thing from Luke Bryan.
Okay.
Last of a Dying Breed from Neil McCoy.
Okay.
Where Corn Don't Grow from Travis Tritt. I think I know that one. I'm not as familiar with that one. It sounds familiar.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've been resonating with that more than a couple of the last titles. But, yeah, that's a good song.
The Great Farmer's Almanac from Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Big Johnny Cash fan. So anything from that man, The Man in Black, I'm going to be a fan of. Song of the South from Alabama.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Good one.
Of course, the classic, we're wrapping up on a couple classics here, American Farmer from the Charlie Daniels Band.
Oh, there's one I'm wanting that I haven't heard yet.
Okay,
so
all right.
Keep on going.
Yeah, let's see if it gets in there. And wrapping up with Thank God I'm a Country Boy from John Denver.
Oh, well, that's a great one, too.
Yeah, that's a
good one. So, you did International Harvester. Where's John Deere Green?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's missing. That needs to be on the list. Oh, that's a good one.
Well, if International Harvester is on there, then John Deere Green should be on there.
So. Couldn't agree more, Matt.
Just saying.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. That's great. Thank you for playing along, Matt. I appreciate that. We do want to let people know how to register for that conference. And if you wouldn't mind telling people what the conference is again, real quick as well.
Yeah, it's called Vital, and it's a program for farm women, but you don't have to be an active farmer. If you have a friend that's a farmer, you should both sign up together. Or if you just have rural interests or you like to talk about farming, they're all good.
I was just going to ask how you register.
Valentine's Day, Mead Wildlife Area, which is just north of Millador. I'm going to have you call. That's easiest on the, I mean, there's a link too, but you can call the Clark County Extension Office at 715-743-7131.
Matt, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, putting up with me as you always do, and the great conversation. We're looking forward to talking again next month real soon.
Very good.
Take care, Matt. Thanks for the time. Big thank you to our good friend Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Always a good conversation with Matt. And great conversation with Leah as well. Big thank you to Leah Eckstein, nursing instructor with Mid-State Technical College. We've had a great round of guests all week long and appreciate all of them. We'll wrap up Morning Magazine for the week tomorrow. Right at 10:05, we'll welcome in Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. You've heard Scott and I talk for years now. We always have an open, interest interesting, in-depth conversation. Sometimes our, you know, we lock horns and everything, but by the end of it, we're laughing and having a good time and probably talking Brewers baseball. But we're looking forward to having Scott join us tomorrow. And then in part two, to wrap up the week of Morning Magazine, we wrap it up with our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Silver Fox is going to be in. We'll have Chris Trunda, Jerry Van Slyke, all being with us, and we'll talk with them about the Silver Fox's most recent production that's coming up. Cannot wait to have them in studio. Looking forward to it. Let you know our sports schedule real quick going on tonight here at WFHR. It's a ball night, 5 o'clock tip off, Wisconsin men's basketball versus Ohio State. Anytime those two face off, I don't care if it's tiddlywinks, we're going to pay attention. We're going to care on Wisconsin. Big Ten matchup right there. And a little bit later on our sister station, WIRI, Wiscountry 105.5, home of all your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home games. Well, we got some fun stuff on there. First at 6 o'clock, Marquette men's basketball head coach's show, Shaka Smart, joins our airwaves as he does once a week. And then speaking of hockey, at 6:55 on Wiscountry 105.5, the puck will drop for Lincoln High School boys hockey taking on Marshfield. Talk about rivalries. There's a good one right there. We're going to have Randy and Don calling that game. You know, you put those two together, you're always going to get a great production. Wishing them a good one. Enjoy the game tonight. And as a proud Lincoln grad, I have to say, roll Raiders. It's going to be a good one. Thank you so much for joining us throughout the morning. You guys have yourselves a great day. We'll talk to you soon and later. Be good to each other right here at WFHR, where we are.